It's funny how things come together. 2 weeks ago, I dedicated a podcast to Amazon's workplace culture. Last week, I dedicated an episode to Google's workplace culture. So on the left hand, you have Amazon. On the right hand, you have Google. And this week, put your hands together, my friends, because Google and Amazon are in the middle of a big old fight.
Joey, this is for you. It's Blackberry Current.
Okay, Joe, I gotta ask. The girl from the Xerox place, or a big tub of jam?
Put your hands together.
Both companies are making headlines because YouTube will no longer be available on the Amazon Fire TVs. But this fight is not about YouTube. So this week we are going to focus on the long, simmering list of issues that have culminated in normal people not being able to look at YouTube on their Fire Sticks. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast Episode 99. If you haven't read the news, here is a quick recap of the situation that's happening between Google and Amazon. On Tuesday, December 5th, some users of the Amazon Echo Show, which is the one with the little screen, reported that YouTube wasn't working on it. This is the second time people who own the show were denied access to YouTube. Initially, Google looked like the bad guys in the situation because people who bought these Amazon Echoes with screens on them just want to watch YouTube. The first time it happened, Google provided kind of a lame excuse, saying that because Amazon was using the web portal to display videos, it wasn't a clean user experience. And they were still using some version of that excuse early last week. Then, users of Fire TV Sticks, and basically anybody on the Amazon platform that was somehow accessing YouTube, started to receive notifications in those apps, saying that as of January, YouTube will not work on that device. And that's when people started to get angry. Amazon issued a press release in the middle of last week, responding to Google's decision to remove YouTube by stating, and I quote, "Google is setting a disappointing precedent by selectively blocking customer access to an open website. We hope to resolve this with Google as soon as possible." So why is Google really doing this? Amazon has recently started to delist Google products. Recently, Amazon started selling home smart cameras, and Google has been selling those products for a couple of years through their acquisition of Nest. Now you can't buy those Nest cameras on Amazon. And this is not new for Amazon. They don't carry Google's Chromecast products, and they don't carry Google's smart speakers, the home products, which is a competitor to the Amazon Echoes. And for those of us who own Chromecasts and cannot access the Amazon Prime Video, I always thought that that issue was on Google's side, that they didn't want to support some Amazon stream, but apparently it's Amazon who does not want to comply and support video on the Chromecast platform. So in summary, and after some research, it seems that Amazon shot first, and it's taken quite a while for YouTube to finally respond. But there's even more issues behind all of that. Amazon and Google are competing on so many different levels. It's not just home speakers and cheap streaming devices. Let's talk about the big one, advertising. In 2016, Google's revenue amounted to almost $90 billion. And most of that revenue was made up from advertising, which was about $68 billion. All of the other Google services and products combined only make up about $3.7 billion. So clearly advertising is Google's primary means of income. Amazon has been dipping into that secretly for the last few years. Amazon also takes in, we'll call it advertising money, from several large agencies to get better product placement on their site. According to Forrester, a large advertising agency called WPP spent $2.6 billion on Amazon's ad products in 2016. And the reason why Amazon is such an attractive place to do advertising is because of the massive amount of data that they collect about customers and audiences. That information is extremely valuable to marketers. Another area of huge contention between the two companies is cloud. Amazon is absolutely crushing everyone in the cloud space right now. I have dedicated dozens of podcast episodes about that topic. In the third quarter of 2017 alone, Amazon banked $4.6 billion in sales. That's according to MarketWatch.com, by the way. It's less clear how Google designates revenue from their cloud services, but they're definitely not bringing in as many enterprise customers as Amazon, not by a long shot. But both Amazon and Microsoft are extremely worried about Google gaining more traction in the cloud space because they do have a competitive edge due to their superior artificial intelligence and machine learning capabilities. And then yet another issue is software. For those of you that use Amazon products, like the Fire TV sticks and their tablets, those platforms are powered by an older version of Android that Amazon decided to fork a few years ago. So Amazon essentially took Google's free open source operating system and then created their own app store around the technology to cut out Google from any profit sharing from the app store. As a point of comparison, Apple, which clearly has the largest app store ecosystem, they made $30 billion last year from app store transactions and sales. So that's a huge revenue generator for both companies. And Google is clearly upset at the way Amazon went about using their technology. So those four areas, advertising, cloud, hardware, software, there have been long simmering disputes and grievances between these two companies that have now manifested in this passive-aggressive lockdown on YouTube, which is a publicly accessible service. The Slate's Will Oremus points out that this is not the first time a situation like this has occurred. These platform wars, they happened between Apple and Microsoft years ago. And as Microsoft systematically squashed competitors, they became the target of a federal antitrust suit in 1998. And we're hearing the same things about Google and Amazon right now about antitrust behavior. But instead of it being desktop computers, it's the mobile space and advertising. Later in the week, Google made an announcement regarding this entire situation. And I quote, "We've been trying to reach an agreement with Amazon to give customers access to each other's products and services. But Amazon doesn't carry Google products like Chromecast and Google Home, doesn't make Prime Video available for Google Cast users, and last month stopped selling some of Nest's latest products. Given this lack of reciprocity, we are no longer supporting YouTube on Echo Show and Fire TV. We hope we can reach an agreement to resolve these issues soon." Google put it out there. This is the root of this issue because there is a lack of reciprocity. USA Today published an article about the entire situation on December 9th, and they are siding with Google. Author Jefferson Graham basically said that Amazon had it coming, and I quote, "If you're going to advertise yourself as having the Earth's biggest selection of products, then you need to take a Switzerland approach to what you stock. Amazon doesn't sell Apple TV, which is a competitor to Fire TV, or the Google Home, which is a low-priced alternative to the Echo line of smart speakers. But Jefferson points out that you know who does carry those things? Best Buy, Target, and Walmart." So that line of thinking takes us back to a previous episode of Sourcecast where I talk about monopolies. These companies exhibit a lot of monopoly-like behavior, but because they enforce these ecosystems and force consumers down these channels, it's not truly a monopoly because customers are forced to choose. And what I mean by forced to choose is, I know going into buying one of these products, these smart home speakers or these streaming devices, that it's not just about buying the streaming device anymore. I know that if I have an Amazon Echo, it's going to talk to the Fire TV. So if I think that the Google Home speaker answers my questions better, but it doesn't talk to my television, that puts me at a quandary. I have to make a decision. And I basically think that the Google Home speaker is better than the Echoes, but the Fire TVs are much better than the Chromecasts. As a consumer of these products, and I buy a lot of them, it is annoying. Historically, it did drive me to buy agnostic products like Roku, who supports both Amazon streaming and YouTube streaming. A lot of the chatter during the week is that Apple is going to be the big winner in this entire situation because they're fairly agnostic and support all of these streaming areas. But I'm not letting Apple off the hook. They're also guilty of forcing people into ecosystems, and once you're going down that path, it's very hard to get out. I don't use an iPhone, so I would be reluctant to purchase an Apple TV for my home because it doesn't integrate well with my other stuff. So as Google and Amazon have their public spat and highlight these issues of monopoly-like practices, and as articles say that consumers are suffering, I have to ask you the question, are they really suffering, or are we benefiting from being exposed to these practices and forcing us to make more educated decisions about who we want to support and what we want to buy? As you're out shopping for Christmas gifts, this certainly is a wonderful time of year to ponder these questions.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.